T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It is 5:08 here on a Monday, and we're remembering Sid Hartman here on News Talk, K3O, WCCO. Steve Thompson along with Twins President Dave St. Peter. And Dave, good to spend the hour with you and a lot of folks associated with the Minnesota Twins, some legends coming up. Dave, really a sad day on Sunday when we all learned of the passing of Sid.
Well, Steve, it's an honor to be with you here today, and you're right, it is a sad day, but it's also, I think, a day to celebrate the legacy of Sid Hartman, and I don't think there's any individual that's defined Minnesota sports. When you think about it, 75 years at the Star Tribune, more than 21,000 bylines, 65 years at WCCO Radio, and every guest we're going to have the next hour loved Sid dearly, and I can assure you he loved each one of these folks back. Really proud to be joined by my boss, the owner of the Twins, Jim Polat, along with the ninth commissioner of Major League Baseball, Bud Selig. And Commissioner Selig, we'll start with you. Your relationship with Sidney goes back many, many years, many decades. What are your recollections of the great Sid Hartman?
Well, thank you, Dave, and it's nice to be with you and with Jim. It's a sad day, but in a way, you're right, it is a celebration. I have a lot of memories. My memories start with Sid 40 years ago. We went to Paul Molitor's wedding together and went out. He took my wife and I out afterwards. We had known each other well, but from that day forward, we developed a great relationship and a closer. I did a lot of Sunday morning shows with him, and I was at his 85th and 90th birthdays, maybe 95 too, I don't remember, but all of them. And we really had a wonderful, I enjoyed Sid. And you know, I was thinking about it, Dave. Today, I know it's hard in journalism to say a guy's a homer, but he was a homer in the most positive sense. How he loved his Minnesota teams. I mean, all of them, starting with the Golden Gophers, obviously, but Twins and Vikings. And there was just no more loyal guy. And he was amazing because he knew everybody. George Steinbrenner and I used to kid about him because he was one of George's few defenders all over. But that's how Sid was. Sid was a man of great loyalty, great learning. Not only a wonderful journalist and a great Minnesotan, but a man of great loyalty. So, frankly, I loved my relationship with him almost to the end. He was really a remarkable human being.
And Jim, of course, you know, it's well storied, you know, the relationship that Sid has enjoyed with your family, certainly your father, and for so many years, and now you and your brothers. What are your thoughts today as we remember Sid Hartman?
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, obviously everybody's used the term close personal friend, but I really genuinely believe that he was a close personal friend of my parents. And I think that Sid is just a people person. He loved people. I think that was his angle to connect into sports. I mean, sports is about people, but these days you can get hung up in the numbers and the analytics and all that. But for Sid, the story was always people. And I'd want to say hi to Bud. I'm really happy to be on the phone with the commissioner.
Well, hi, Jim, and it's a pleasure. And Jim, I'll say this, going back with your dad, that all the times I came here, as you well remember, to try to get a new stadium, and we went through a lot of heartache together on things. But Sid never wavered. He was a great friend to your dad and mother, and a great friend to me. And at times when everybody else was ripping us, not Sidney. Sidney was always a staunch, loyal friend. And by the way, with his help and other help, the Pollard family got a great new ballpark built. So it was Sid's contributions are just really legendary. And Jim, you know how helpful he's been to all of us over the years.
Well, Commissioner, I'll never forget the night that the Twins ballpark legislation passed. Sid was actually there in the balcony of the state Senate, and 4:30 in the morning, and as the final vote was taken, he stood from his chair and kind of glared down at the Senate Majority Leader Dean Johnson and basically sending the message, you better deliver this ballpark bill or else. So he contributed in every way he possibly could. There's no doubt about that.
That's right, Dave. That's absolutely true.
So, Jim, you know, in terms of work ethic and just, we obviously are at the ballpark a lot, but we miss Sid this summer. We obviously didn't have the chance to connect with him, but he truly was here day in and day out. And whether it would be here or out at Winter Park or future now the Vikings complex or the University of Minnesota, you have to admire the way he went about his job. He showed up every single day.
That's right. And I agree. And I'm not going to sit here and say that everything he wrote we loved, because he was an honest, straightforward person. But he, I'd get back to the people part. He loved people, and he loved the story behind people.
Yeah, Commissioner, I believe Sid was the baseball writer. He had card number one. I think he was the senior most member
right.
of the BBWAA. And, he was an icon in Minnesota. But I think nationally you could speak to this commissioner. He had great respect around the country, correct?
Oh, there's no question about it. In fact, wherever I was, and Minnesota would come up or the Twinsies would come up, how's Sid doing? You got that all the time. How's Sid doing? And he was great. And Jim is right. Look, everything he wrote and everything he said, you didn't necessarily agree with. But one thing you always knew, that he wanted to help, and he wanted to be helpful. We may disagree on how to get there and other things. But he was that. And when you think of his career, wow. Is it 78 years that he was with the...
75 years with the Star Tribune, 65 with WCCO Radio. And along the way, I think he was inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So we're not even talking
amazing.
About that. It is amazing. And Commissioner Selig and Jim Pollard, thank you so much for being with us this evening. It means the world to the listeners and everybody throughout WCCO land. And Steve Thompson, we'll turn it back over to you.
All right, we have much more coming up. Twins President Dave St. Peter joining us for the entire hour. Big thanks again to Jim Pollard and Commissioner Bud Selig. Coming up around the corner, Hall of Famer Rod Carew a little bit later on, former Twins manager Ron Gardenhire. Gardy checks in, Joe Mauer, Joe Nave, and all to come before 6 as we remember Sid Hartman here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 5:19 here on a Monday as we remember Sid Hartman here on News Talk, K3O WCCO. 33 degrees, some light snow. Steve Thompson along with Twins President Dave St. Peter, and we've got a lot of great baseball guests and folks who certainly have worked with and known Sid Hartman over the years, Dave. And thanks again to Jim Pollard and Commissioner Bud Selig in our first segment today. And we got a Hall of Famer right now.
Yeah, it's really an honor to be part of this, Steve. And we welcome in a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, number 29 for the Minnesota Twins, Sir Rodney Carew. And Rod, I know what Sid meant to you. I also know what you meant to Sid and to the Hartman family. I know it's a tough day, but share with the listeners your thoughts on Sid Hartman and what he meant to you throughout your career.
Well, Dave, I'm saddened to hear that Sid passed, but he was just a great guy. He was Minnesota all the way. All sports in Minnesota, he backed. And he talked a lot of guys into coming to the Twin Cities because it was such a a beautiful place to play and raise their families, you know. So I was one of the guys that stayed around during the whole year, Tony Oliva and I, because, you know, Tony talked me into staying there, and so did Sid. And Sid and I became just buddies, you know. We were just very good friends. I helped raise his son, Chad, and I used to talk to Chad a lot about baseball and about hitting when he was growing up. And now he has a show on WCCO, and I've been on the show a couple of times with him, and we've lost a great friend. I think Minnesota's lost a great person and someone that has kept Minnesota in high standards for all the years I was there, and also after I left.
You know, Rod, I know over the course of time, you know, your career is well documented, and I know you dealt with a lot of media at ups and downs throughout the time. But one of the common refrains with Sid is people talk about trust, and the relationship that you had, I suspect, was rooted in trust, where Sid wasn't just a member of the media. He was a friend, right? And can you share a little bit of that in terms of how, you know, even during some of the most challenging times in your career, whether it would have been maybe before the trade or all the pressures of 1977, how Sid played some role in that?
Oh, he did, you know. You know, I can go back to days with some of the writers in the Twin Cities that I didn't get along with because, you know, they would write things that I would say that I wouldn't say, and they would have it in the papers the next day. I remember on one occasion in 1977 when I was chasing at 400 mark, and Larry Heiser was having a great year, and Bob Fowler came up to me and wanted to do a story for Sporting News. And I told him, I said, you know, Larry Heisel's having a great year. Why don't you give him the cover? You know, I've been on magazine covers throughout the whole year. And so give Larry, you know, the cover because he's having a great year. And Bob simply just said to me, well, who are you to tell me to, you know, that you don't want to pose with Larry for the cover. I said, well, you know, give him the cover because he deserves it. Well, the next day in headlines in the papers, Rod Carew refuses to pose with his teammate for an article on Sporting News. And it's a good thing Lyman Bostock was sitting next to me while Bob Fowler was saying this, because the next morning Larry came in, and I guess he read the paper before he got to the park, and you know, he was a little upset, and it was like the first time I'd ever seen Larry like that. And so I went over to him and I started talking about the article, and then Lyman Bostock says, I see, Rod's telling you the truth. He wanted you to have the cover all by yourself because you're having a great year. And he said, I sat there and listened to the conversation between Rod and Bob Fowler. And ever since that happened, I never spoke to another writer. And Sid was the only guy that I could talk to that I felt comfortable talking. Sid and Pat Ricey, those are the only two guys back there, writers that followed the Twins, that I really felt, you know, I could say anything to them, and it would not end up in the papers. So he's a good man, you know, and I trusted him. And not only trusted him, but I loved him because he was always on the square, you know, with me. And also a lot of the players, you know, around the Twins and the Vikings and, you know, the North Stars. He did a great job with all those guys also.
You know, one thing you two had in common is you both love Billy Martin. You know, you played for him, obviously, and Sid obviously loved covering Billy. You know, that's another commonality between the two of you.
Yes, we loved Billy because, you know, Billy was a great manager, and I think he helped me most on the field as my career, you know, went along. Helped me at second base. Helped me to have confidence when I was having a bad year fielding. Things like that. But Billy could get on their skin a little bit, but I tell you what, Sid was always there with him. He's always talked to him, and he was just a great guy, a great person. And I really felt that I could trust him. So,
Rodney, you obviously are an icon of Minnesota Twins baseball and Minnesota sports, and we've lost another one with Sid Hartman. And, you know, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. And we'll all go forward and try to celebrate Sid the rest of tonight and going forward with our work ethic and everything else we put into our own respective vocations. Thanks for being with us. I'll turn it over to Steve Thompson.
All right, there he is.
My pleasure, Dave.
There he is, Hall of Famer Rod Carew joining us. Twins president Dave St. Peter, Steve Thompson in on this Monday afternoon as we remember Sid Hartman. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. 531 on a Monday, we're remembering Sid Hartman here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Steve Thompson with Twins president Dave St. Peter. Earlier in the hour, Jim Polad, Commissioner Bud Selig, Hall of Famer Rod Carew, and Dave, the great guest, keep on coming.
Well, Steve, over the years, Sid Hartman enjoyed special relationships, I think, with virtually every coach at the University of Minnesota, certainly every coach the Vikings had. Timberwolves, Wild, but in the Minnesota Twins, our managers. And this guy was at or near the top of his favorites. Thrilled to have Ron Gardenhire with us tonight. And Gardy, I know what Sidney meant to you and your family. Share with us your thoughts as you heard of Sid's passing and, how you process it in terms of that relationship that you two enjoyed.
Well, he's a special guy. It started with the day I got up here as a coach, him never blowing me off, always talking to me. And you never forget a person like that because he didn't pick favorites. All he did was walk around and get to know everybody. And, you know, he was that special guy. He interviewed me. He was at my press conference when I got named manager, although he left right away and took off right in the middle of it, which I thought was hilarious. And then, having him in my office with his little tape recorder, the push button kind, not the digital ones, and seeing looking down when he's interviewing you and nothing's moving on there, but he thought he pushed a button, and I just loved him. I just thought he was just fantastic. What a career, and what a historic man in this community and everything he's done for everybody. It just goes on and on.
You know, Gardy, he was, it's funny, you know better than anybody the monotony of a baseball season, right? And Sid had a way of kind of lightening that load a bit for all of us when he'd show up at the park. You mentioned your introductory press conference, January 4th, 2002. Sid sitting in the front row for, the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. Then he gets word that the Vikings had fired Denny Green, and he decided that he had another event to get to, right?
Yeah, that was it. And he just took off right out the door. And I was right away, I started laughing. I'll just never forget it, seeing him get up and take off out. And I was like, wow, I must have really bored that guy. So, you know what? I love him. Like I said, he's a great man, and he treated me very well, and like he did a lot of people, and we had a lot of fun with him.
You know, Gardy, as the manager, you got to spend a lot more time with Sid than anybody else. He would interview you before each game when our games were on CCO radio. And then, of course, the Sunday morning show, and I know you had interaction with that show both when Tom Kelly was the manager, but then when you took over the helm, you had your own experience there. What can you share, or what do you remember about those days?
Yeah, I remember when, you know how it goes as a manager, you're going to take a little bit of heat here and there, and Sid always defended us. A person would call in and say, what are you doing? You stink. You know, why don't you quit? And Sid would just jump right in the middle of it and take all the emphasis off of me and right into him. And you know what? All you could do is laugh about him. He says, get off the phone, you stiff. And, you know, he used to kill me in my office. And like I said, you know, you watch him go about his business, and the players respected him. And you know what? He was always on the move. And you know what? We're going to miss him.
Yeah, I tried to get Luther from North Minneapolis to call in tonight, but who was Torrey Hunter calling from the other room, if I remember right.
I do remember that one, little Luther from Northern Minneapolis, you know. And so, why don't we have more black people playing baseball? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, Torrey. And you know what? He just kept it live, and the players loved it, and Sid used to jump right in the middle of it, and holy cow, we had so much fun with him.
Yeah, Gardy, how did you process? You would see firsthand as a coach, but then obviously as our manager, there were rules, and then there are Sid rules, right, in terms of where the media could access or what they could do and when they could do it. Can you confirm that was the truth for Sid?
Oh, 100%. He did exactly what he wanted to. He would push right through. It was entertaining to see, you know, all the media standing around, and all of a sudden, Sid, if he had something on his mind, he'd walk right through the middle of them and just start asking his questions no matter what the conversation was about. If he had something on his mind, he would blow right through the middle of them. And you know what? You'd look around at the faces of the rest of the press guys, and they all got it and understood it, and they all would start smiling and laughing too.
Yeah. One of the things that was so magical about Sid is he was a fan at heart. He was, you know, some might call it a homer, but he wanted the best outcomes for all of the Minnesota teams. And I think that, you know, that probably endeared him to all of us in some way. But, you know, there was nobody that was in your court more in terms of wanting you to have success and wanting you to ultimately bring home you know, championships. And I know you felt that as a manager when you dealt with Sid.
100%. You know, he was all about, you know, Minnesota and the colleges and everywhere else, and he would defend them. And no matter what was going on, having good or bad seasons, he always defended. And it was always about, you know, his time here in Minnesota and how proud he was of all the sports, all of everything. He just loved it here, and you could tell it. And if you said anything against it, you were gonna catch his wrath, which was always entertaining too, because he could get fired up just like anybody else.
Of course, one of the reasons
he could really get after you.
One of the reasons he loved you is because his son Chad Hartman loves you from your time together down in Orlando. So I know you had a strong endorsement, but you know, family meant the world to Sid, and those of us that got to know him the best would see that firsthand, how much he cared for his children, how much he loved his grandchildren. And I know how much family means to you, but I know you got to see some of that with Sid. And I think that's the thing I probably cherish the most, is to know that I got a chance to see that on a personal level, just how much his family meant to him.
Yeah, that's, you know, the kind of cool thing was, I always told him, you know, when I was managing down in AA Orlando, and Chad was down there with me, I told him how he almost screwed up our team, and Sid would get after me like, you can't believe, boy, he would wear me out when I'd say something like that. And we always had fun with him. You know, there's so many great stories of Sid. You know, the Sunday show was always the best. Coming back from Little Ox one time, and Herbeck, we're following Herbeck's, me and my buddy Walleye, and Sid calls, and we're talking on the phone. I'm talking on the phone. Herbie listens in, driving his truck, and told him what we were doing. We were up ice fishing on Mille Lacs, and all of a sudden, Sid says, you went on the lake with Herbeck on the ice? Are you kidding me? And so Herbeck started calling in, trying to rip Sid. So it was just nonstop. He was involved in everything. He loved everybody, and you know what? There won't be another like him, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and you've spent enough time here in Minnesota, obviously living here all the years you have, to see what he means to all the sports and how much the University of Minnesota means to him and meant to him. And, you know, we obviously, we lived it with Sid back in the Met Stadium and then the Metrodome and now Target Field. And, you know, at the end of the day, he spent a lot of time talking about facilities, right? And we were working hard to get a new ballpark, and Sid was at the front of that effort as well. So, you know, but he had a lot to do with making this market a major league market. And Commissioner Selig was on earlier and talked about just how renowned Sid was more nationally and the respect that he had around baseball as a baseball writer and somebody who just defined Minnesota sports. So it's really
Absolutely.
A remarkable career.
Absolutely, and, you know, I'm sitting here watching football today, and they were talking about him, you know, during one of the breaks, and the national guys, you know, Aikman and guys like that were talking about, you know, Sid, and I thought that was really cool. I mean, that just tells you how many lives he's touched and, you know, how long he's been around, which is incredible in itself, and, you know what, it's not just here in this community that people recognized him and really understood him and believed in him. And we're lucky to get to know him. It's everywhere. Everywhere you went, they'd say, "How's Sid Hartman doing?" You know, and I'm telling you, he's still kicking. I'm telling you that. So, you know what? Like I said, we've all been blessed to have the opportunity to hang out with that guy, just watch him do his thing.
Guardy, I got to ask you, listeners, are you doing okay? We know you stepped away before the end of the season in Detroit, and everybody in Minnesota is thinking about you and excited to see your next chapter, but I trust you and your family are well.
Yeah, doing fine. You know, I got a little sick there towards the end of that thing, had a little stomach thing, and man, it just kind of knocked me down a little bit. And you know what? You start thinking about your life after baseball, and that's kind of where it went to. I just said, I've got to take care of myself. You know, it wasn't feeling good. And, you know, there's so much stress during the course of a baseball season. And with this COVID thing, you know, it was even more so. Yeah. So it was just one of those things. You know what? I didn't want to be on that dugout and all of a sudden see myself laying down there in the ground, you know, with a stomach ache or something. So I just decided this is the right time for me and to take care of myself so I could spend the rest of my time with my family and friends, and that's kind of what I did. And you know what? I had a great time over there in Detroit. I've got a lot of great memories in the game, and I feel like I did the right thing, and I know I have, because I feel better now. I feel more comfortable with where I'm at. And you know what? Like I said, a good run, started by the Minnesota Twins, giving me a great opportunity. TK pushed for me, so many guys, and Terry Ryan and them, you know, gave me an opportunity to manage, and you know what? Pretty lucky. My wife and I, you know, we've made our home here, and it's been a pretty good deal. And I'll never, never, ever really leave this community. I can guarantee you that. I might go to Florida where it's a little warmer, but I'll always come back to Minnesota.
Well, we're grateful. We're grateful for everything you've done for Twins baseball and sports in the upper Midwest, and we're a better organization because of you. Guardy, thanks for being with us tonight. I know what Sid meant to you and what you meant to Sid, and God bless you and your family. We'll be in touch. I'll turn it back over to Steve.
All right, there he is. Former Twins manager Ron Gardenhire joining us. Dave St. Peter, Twins president. So far, Jim Polad, Bud Selig, Rod Carew, Ron Gardenhire around the corner, Joe Mauer, and Joe Nathan scheduled to join us. We are remembering Sid Hartman right here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is 5:47, 13 minutes before 6 o'clock. Steve Thompson, Twins president Dave St. Peter. We're remembering Sid Hartman, and all our guests are appearing on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And Dave, the hour's flown by, and so many great guests. And that trend continues with two great guests.
Yeah, we're just absolutely thrilled to be joined by two legends of the Twins organization, Joe Mauer and Joe Nathan, both of which had the great experience of winning a lot of ball games for the Twins, but also spending a fair amount of time with Sir Sidney Hartman. And we'll start with Joe Mauer. Joe, you obviously growing up in Minnesota, you probably knew of Sid as a youth. I'd be curious when the first time is you appeared in the Sid Hartman column. But what was your first impressions of Sid, and what are your thoughts today as we celebrate Sid Hartman's legacy?
Well, Dave, thanks for having me on to talk about Sid. As you mentioned, we go back a long way. I know there's a lot of people that have been on this on the radio today. They've been on a lot longer, but most of my life, I mean, Sid, I remember him in high school. Like you said, his column, not just covering the major sports, but youth sports as well. And I remember a couple first encounters with Sid in my days at Creighton-Durham Hall, so we go back a long ways, but, it's been really nice to hear some of the stories about Sid, and I've always had great interactions of him or with him over the years. So happy to be on.
Well, thank you for that, Joe. And Joe Nathan, you of course, come to the Twins in a trade, and I'm not sure if anybody in our PR staff prepped you for Sid Hartman, and I don't know if you can recall the first time you met him, whether it was at spring training or at the Metrodome, but do you have any recollections of that?
You know what? Well, first off, I just want to say thoughts and prayers go out to the Hartman family, and what a great, great individual. He's going to be missed so greatly throughout the sports world, and I know so many people are going to miss him tremendously. So You know, for me, probably my biggest memory of Sid, to be honest, he's one of those guys that is going to sound bad at first, but I hate to love. You know, he's one of those guys that I only saw him usually, I would say for the most part, I saw him during my bad moment. Seemed like whenever I had a blown save, he would be right there. And if you're a sensitive guy, you're probably not going to get along with Sid. But you got to have some thick skin. And he was a guy that would stick the microphone right in my face. And I remember my first encounter with him. And he came right in with a question and just shoved his microphone like right up to my mouth. And I was like, whoa, that's really aggressive. And right from the start, he's one of those guys that just, he sticks to you and you remember him. And every time you see him, you're like, uh-oh, here it comes. But then he grows on you and eventually he's one of those guys that you love to see. Even for me, during those times that weren't so great for me individually, it was a good time to see him. So that's one of my memories for him.
Yeah, and Joe, of course, he was there every day, as you know. And then the second part of that, you didn't blow many saves. So that was the good news, right? So, Joe Maurer, I know he interviewed you time after time after time, and I know he always had that famed tape recorder with him. And, you know, what was your experience with Sid, and whether it be post-game or pre-game or around the batting cage, what have you?
Well, that tape recorder, I remember, it goes back to my first days remembering him covering me, you know, having that tape recorder. And I always thought to myself, I wonder what his library looks of all the cassette tapes, you know, with all the interviews that he's done. You know, we obviously, the baseball was just one of the many sports that he covered here locally. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, how many cassette tapes, or where does he store all these cassette tapes? But, you know, yeah, he would go around and, you know, he would just get as many interviews and talk to as many people as he could when, you know, the clubhouse was open to the reporters. And, you know, one of the guys would say, I remember Mike Redmond especially, he had a little problem one day with his tape recorder. Was getting some feedback, and you could see Sid was getting a little frustrated because, you know, there's only, you know, a certain amount of time they could be in there. But I remember Mike Redmond trying to help him out as best way as he could. But, you know, it was one of those things. You respected Sid, what he did, and you know, being around and doing anything for as long as he's done, you know, how hard he worked at it and how much he really enjoyed, you know, being around the game and all the games that he covered.
Yeah, I used to love having Sid over at, say, a media luncheon or what have you, and he'd be doing an update interview about how the business side of the Twins is going, but the entirety of the interview, he'd be looking beyond me to see if somebody more important would walk in the room, and if Joe Maurer or Joe Nathan or Jim Polad walked in, guess what? Our interview was done. He was going to go get Joe Maurer.
Dave, yeah, don't kid yourself. Joe said earlier. He's talking to us and looking for you. That's usually the case.
He was always looking for Maurer, right, Joe Nathan?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know the move with sticking the microphone in somebody's face, but also scanning the room to see if he needed to get to talk to somebody that day. But that was Sid working, you know, working hard and make sure that he got everything he needed to write his story. So that was that's something I'll always remember.
I mean, you guys, you know, were in the big leagues for a long time, and you knew there were certain rules that media members were asked to follow, whether it be their access time, where they could go, you know, things of that nature. My experience is that there always were two sets of rules. There were rules, and then there were Sid rules. Did you observe that either in the Metrodome or at Target Field, Joe Nathan?
There's no doubt. I mean, the rest of the writing world has to leave. Sid leaves when he wants to. I noticed that from the start. I said, this guy must be somebody because, you know, they're not kicking him out at the same time they're kicking everybody else out. So there was definitely more rules for him.
You know, and at the same time, I think the word that comes to mind for me when I think about him and so many people that have been on WCCO today is the relationships were rooted in trust. And I'm guessing both of you guys would say that if you were going to sit down with Sid, you trusted him with, you know, in terms of the way he was going to handle information, whether it be on the record or off the record. And I think that speaks to who Sid was as a reporter and really trying to look for those positive outcomes, which he was a unabashed supporter of Minnesota sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing. I think respect comes to first thing to mind when you think of Sid. You know, like, you know, he respected you as athletes, and you respected him and how hard he worked at his craft. And I think, you know, and we say it too. I mean, if I just say the word Sid, I mean, there's not too many people that are just recognized by one word. You know, it's like, that's like right. A Prince or Beyonce or something like yeah. that. You say Sid here in Minnesota, and kind of up in this area, you know exactly who you're talking about. And, you know, that's definitely rightfully earned, and you respected the way that he went about his business.
Well, Sid, Joe and Joe, thank you so much for being with us. I know it means the world to our listeners to hear from you all the day, and God bless Sid Hartman and his family. I know on behalf of the Twins organization, we send you the best, and there will never be another one, and just we were lucky to have the one we had. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Steve Thompson.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Joe Mauer, Joe Nathan, Twins president Dave St. Peter, and what a great hour it was. We're remembering Sid Hartman, and all the guests joined us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Twins owner Jim Polad, former Major League Commissioner Bud Selig, Hall of Famer Rod Carew, former Twins manager Ron Gardenhire, and then, of course, Joe Mauer and Joe Nathan, along with Twins president Dave St. Peter, all hour long. We have all the news coming up at 6. I'll be sitting in for Mike Max on Sports to the Max. We have a great program lined up for you tonight. Former Twins broadcaster John Gordon is scheduled to join us on the program. Columnist and radio man Patrick Royce also coming up tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.